I would like to start with a beautiful chant of Master, which is very, one can say, very indicated for this theme, which is, "From this sleep, Lord, will you wake, wake me." Okay? Those who know that song can sing with me, and the others simply listen to the words, and then you can come into it. We will sing it a few times. Okay, so sit up straight with a straight spine. Gaze upward. For a moment, observe the breath. You are the soul, the infinite spark of the divine. And let's chant together. From this sleep, Lord, will you wake, wake me? From this dream, Lord, will you wake, wake me? In the I dive, in the I rise, in the I dive. In thee I rise, in thy seeing thee, in thy seeing thee. From this sleep, Lord, will you wake, wake me? From this dream, Lord, will you wake, wake me? In thee I die, in thee I born, in thee I die, in thee I'm born, to live forever in thee. To live forever in thee. From this sleep, Lord, will you wake, wake me? From this dream, Lord, will you wake, wake me? In thee I die. In thee I rise, in thee I dive, in thee I rise, to in thy seeing thee, in thy seeing thee. From this sleep, Lord, will you wake, wake me? From this dream, Lord, will you wake, wake me? In thee I die, in thee I'm born, in thee I die, in thee I'm born, to live forever in thee, to live forever in thee. From this sleep, Lord, will you wake, wake me? From this dream, Lord, will you wake, wake me? For a moment with closed eyes, repeat these words only mentally. Chant it mentally in your mind. From this sleep, Lord, will you wake, wake me? From this dream, Lord, will you wake, wake me? In thee I die. In thee I rise, in thy sea, in thee. In thee I die, in thee I'm born, to live forever in thee. Feel the truth of that chant inside your heart, inside your mind, and slowly you can open the eyes again. Isn't that a beautiful chant? It's a very powerful chant. And when one wants to become free of illusion or free from attachments, it's a very, very beautiful chant to sing, to repeat it again and again. It's one of the cosmic chants of Master. Very beautiful. So now we come to karma and reincarnation. Why all this play here? Why are we here? So let's first begin with karma, and then we go according to the karma is then reincarnation. It depends what we do with the karma or with action. The word karma comes from the root word kri in Sanskrit, and that root word is, the meaning is action, simply action. Are you active? That's a question. Are you active? Yeah, yep. With what are you active? We are already active with every breath. Breathing is action, okay? Thought is action. Smiling, crying is action. So all constantly from the moment we are born until the moment that we leave again this world, constantly action is happening. But it depends which kind of action. And through that, we can decide to live in joy, to live consciously, to grow, to evolve. Or through that action, we can steep deeper and deeper into illusion. So that is karma. So everything we do, every thought, because every action starts with a thought, isn't it? You decide to create a beautiful, beautiful altar or flower bouquet. Where does that start, the action? It starts with the thought. From that thought, then you put out energy. And then comes the creation or manifestation of action on this plane. And that is with everything. So already, for example, when you have the thought, oh, look, what a beautiful flower, and you appreciate it, that's a thought which uplifts the energy, isn't it? Or then you see television or see something or hear someone and say, what kind of stupid things here this person is saying? It's still only a thought. But already it's an action. And it's already an action which creates an effect. Because the whole universe, God himself, he is pure love. He is pure bliss. But he has created this universe with a fundamental law, which is the law of karma, which is the law of effect and the result of it, okay? And so according to our thoughts, which is the starting point, the energy can rise up, we can get freer, or the energy can go lower, can go downward, can go outward, and we are steeped more and more in illusion or in passion. So to become conscious, when you think for how many lifetimes, also observing It's beautiful to be a silent observer, because you see so much without judging, without criticizing, only observing the movie of the world. Okay, you don't have to go to the cinema. You have a lot of spectacles right here in the world itself. But one can learn so much from it, from being an observer, also being an observer of your own actions, of your own thoughts. And then slowly one begins to learn to control that actions, okay? You can choose when you see there's a little bit heavier thought coming, and you see everybody is ugly, everybody doesn't look very nice, there are no good people around. How will these people look like? How will be the expression of the face? Through that thought, it will express it. And what will you draw? It's only the thought, but as I said, karma begins with the thought. What kind of results will you draw to you when your thoughts are everybody's only ugly and not very happy? That will be the magnetism what is drawn to one, okay? As a result of that karma. But then when we go more to actions in daily life, actions, one can live through our actions, through karma, we can live in heaven or we can live in hell. It's our choice. It's not God. It's not that God is up there with the white beard and saying, okay, you are a sinner, you have done a bad thing, so you go into the eternal hell. No, it doesn't. That is man created. Okay, that doesn't exist. As Master said, the greatest sin is to think yourself a sinner. But there are actions, for example, of kindness, of love, of caring, will bring one closer. This one can say is the good karma, and it will one bring will bring one closer to our true nature. Any kind of criticism, any kind of negative thoughts, and consequently the action of them, result in bad karma. But the bad karma will be then mainly for ourselves, okay? Not for the, because the outer world, as Master said, everything is neutral. You can live in the same place. One sees the heaven, one sees the hell, according to one's thoughts and one's actions, okay? And that is the root or the key how to begin to work with it. You all are here. That means you all already, you want to change. You want to become a master of your destiny in a certain way, which you, everyone can be. Because every time we decide with our actions at the beginning to do good, to help, to be kind, be loving, every time that divine consciousness draws us then closer and closer. Because with everything good we do, we express more our soul quality, not our ego quality. Anytime we hurt only a little tiny thing, for example a tree or a little flower, and you simply step on it, creates karma. You kill a little insect, it creates karma. If it is done, for example, with willingness, and I will tell then a beautiful story about reincarnation and effect of karma from India, very beautiful story, which shows the effect of it. Because, as we said, the soul is eternally free. The soul is the perfect image of the divine, and the soul resides in everyone. But there is that part of the soul who got identified with the play or with the dream, that part of the soul which is called the ego, and it starts to act, okay? And every action one does, guided by the ego, creates a reaction, creates an effect, cause and effect. And there we go then over karma versus dharma, okay? Because karma are the actions guided by the ego. Dharma are the actions guided by the soul. That is then a little bit the difference. And like in India in the scriptures, Sanatan Dharma are the principles of how to live from the soul consciousness and guided by the soul consciousness, not by the ego consciousness. Okay? Is that clear? So if there's any aspect which is not clear, simply ask. Okay? Then we have a moment, questions and answers too. So that is, with every action we create, that is the cause, we create an effect, which doesn't have to mature immediately. With great saints or with great souls who are already very close, it goes very immediately. They make one mistake and the effect comes immediately like a boomerang back. But in the arc of evolution of the ego, one can say, there the effect can be in another lifetime or in other more lifetimes, okay? That the effect of a certain action comes. And there a little story. A beautiful rishi, very dedicated, very simple, detached, renunciate, lives in his hut in the forest, totally dedicated and merged in God. The full love, not yet free, not yet completely liberated, his life completely dedicated to God. And he has also spiritual powers, many. One day, thieves came. They had just stolen very precious things from the king. And the thieves were followed by the soldiers of the king. And so they got scared. They ran into the hut where the rishi was meditating, oblivious of what was going on the outer plane, because he was busy with God. And the thieves were busy to hide their things, because the soldiers were coming very close. And so they hid that what they had stolen in the hut of the rishi, and then ran away. The soldiers arrived in that hut and looked around everything and found the stolen things. And the rishi was there, and of course, he was the thief. So he was taken to the king, and they had a process, like when you go in to the court, and he was found guilty of robbery. And at that time in India, they were not exactly gentle with robbers. So there was but it was a very slow death and very painful death normally. And usually it took 1 day to 2 days that a person would die, so but with a lot of pain in that process. And that rishi, because he had developed powers, he didn't die, but he had the pain. He was experiencing all the pain. And after a little while, the king realized that he was a true rishi, that he wasn't a thief, and immediately they took him off because they saw he was glowing, he was beautiful, and nothing, no sign of dying, or he even didn't give a sign of pain, also when he had it. And so the rishi was taken off from the torture, and set free and given a lot of things. And the Rishi was then meditating and saying, Lord, why did that happen? And so he had the power to go with his body to Yama, the king of death. Yama is also the one who sees everything we have done. It's like the cause effect. He's the effect boomerang, Yama, in a certain way. Okay? So he went to Yama and said, why did you do that? Why did that happen? And Yama said, it was simply your karma. Don't you remember in your last lifetime, you were a little child and you found joy in killing in that way the dragonflies. He was a little child. The Rishi got upset. He said, okay, I was a little child. I wasn't conscious. He said, it was karma. It created karma and you had to pay for it. But because you already were so dedicated, so you didn't die, so the boomerang wasn't to die, but he had to go to physical suffering for 2 days. And of course, like the rishis in India, then the rishi cursed Yama, and so Yama had to be born on earth. That's a other story. But what does this story tell you? So there was a beautiful rishi. It's about karma. In another lifetime, didn't even remember that action, that little action as a child. But the boomerang came back the next life, okay? So that is also, it gives us a clear hint. We don't know what we have done in past lifetimes. We have done more or less everything. And we didn't yet pay all the bills. In a certain way, there's a few little things still in there. And Yama has the book, okay, when should this karma get the boomerang back? It will come when we live now more consciously, when we do everything to, if we create karma, that we create good karma, or even better, that we don't create karma, and we will get to that point, how to cure us from creating karma, then it can be mitigated. One thing. And the other aspect is that when one goes deeper into the spiritual path, also when their physical suffering comes, sometimes it's the law of karma. It's not God. God doesn't want to hurt us. The divine doesn't want us to suffer. But we have created a few little thingies. And as long as we are identified with the play, as long as we are identified with these bodies, with this world, with our roles which we play, karma will come. It's only at the moment when we really can live in soul consciousness, and there is no identification anymore with the body, with the personality, with that what we think we are. Only there then karma ceases. It doesn't hit anymore so strong. Okay? That is a little bit what that story gives. So, but how can that be helpful to us in this moment? How to work with it? That it's whatever comes to you, you know, it's an unpaid bill. Sorry, my German accent with the B and the P's sometimes. But it's like an unpaid bill. Okay. It's like taking a pill in that way, but it's an unpaid bill, and you have to pay it sooner or later. You have created it, so sooner or later it has to. But it doesn't have to be a suffering. It doesn't have to be a moment, a difficult moment. It can be that you say, thank you, Lord, simply help me to rise above it, also that you have, you make yourself also stronger. We have a lot of exercises, we have a lot of practices to make you physically stronger, like with energization exercises, mentally stronger, emotionally stronger, with detaching. It's like, I remember like with Swamiji, there you have the practice of Hong So, for example, many of you. Swamiji, he had to go to the dentist. And he had already his heart issue, so he couldn't have anesthesia. And he had a root canal treatment, and quite an infected one. And big one. And this, usually that's painful. Those who had a root canal treatment, no, it's not something small. And Swamiji said, don't worry at all. Do your work to the dentist. And Swamiji, he simply withdrew from body consciousness. That's the key. Withdrawing from body consciousness, and we are all able to do it. And so the dentist was sweating and working on Swamiji, and Swami in the meantime was creating music. While he was doing the root canal without anesthesia, Swamiji created a music piece. He wrote a music piece mentally, okay? So there is, when things come to us, which creates the suffering, that what creates the pain, is our identification with it. It's our attachment to it, okay? If we can do only one step back, we can learn from it, we can grow to it, and we can go beyond it or above it. Was that clear? That is with karma in that way. So we don't have to be, when certain, as people often say, karmic bombs come, you don't have to be annihilated. You can rise above. And like also Master said, that, and like all the great ones say, that which you have created, you can undo with the right actions of now. More that we practice to live in the moment, more that we practice to go beyond the personality, go beyond the body. It's not always easy. Even for saints, it's always. Even Lahirichi, when I think it was Sri Yukteswarji, when he came and gave him the news from Babaji, from where he was in Allahabad, he met Babaji, and the news that he will soon leave the body, even Lahirichi was shaking a little bit. So Lahirichi, who is a huge avatar, but a little tiny bit, even a master, a little tiny bit, there is that tiny attachment, because if also an avatar wouldn't have a little tiny bit of attachment to the body, he wouldn't stay in the body. Vroom, he would be out there and gone for into the cosmic consciousness, okay? So, but it is really to learn to go, to rise above and go beyond it. And more that we can focus on that what we truly are, and there the affirmation, like before when we said, not saying I will be free, but I am free. Okay? That is so beautiful, like we have it always written here, to memorize the poem Samadhi of Master. Then is I, the tiny bubble of laughter, have become the sea of mirth itself. So repeat this again and again, if you can do it. Because that goes into your consciousness, that goes into your whole being. And so then when whatever happens on the physical plane, you will act from detachment. And you will act from your center. Your center is always peaceful. Your center is always filled with understanding, with wisdom, with the knowing, with the solutions of everything. It's already, everything is there. And God doesn't send anything bigger than what we can handle. He sends only things where our being is ready to work with. Okay? So that is when we talk about karma. And being conscious of, especially of thoughts, what you think, being conscious of every action you do now, in what way you do it, okay? And the beautiful way is, also with karma, every evening, take a moment of stillness. If you meditate, if you're already a Kriya Ban, you do it then after your Kriya practice, after your meditation, or also with the Kriya practice, offer everything up into the divine light. If you're a disciple, offer it to the Guru, giving everything, every day, all the actions you have done, all the desires which arose, because desires, they create our next lifetimes. We don't want to come back on this planet Earth. Maybe we are free, and all of a sudden you have to thought, oh, I still want an ice cream. And you have to come back. In the astral plane and causal plane, there's no ice cream, okay? So you have then to come back. So it's also learning to work with our desires. And see everything. It's like when Master said, live in this world, but don't be of this world. Can you understand that? It doesn't mean that you flutter around now here and you don't have responsibilities. Yes? In heaven? In the astral plane? Yeah.
No.
Yep, but there is not the physical taste. Every little desire you have for something physical, there's different. That you don't have. Huh? No, but it's different. And also Master was very clear. And also here, I have here a little, let's hear, about suffering. We go back to that. Master said, human suffering is not a sign of God's anger with mankind. It is a sign, rather, of man's ignorance of the divine law of karma. It's man's ignorance which creates suffering, not God. He doesn't want us to suffer. So that has to be very clear. Okay? And then about desires, Master said, in regard of small or unimportant desires, ice cream, it is better to satisfy them now. Not immediately, but it's better to do it. Because in that way we can get rid of them. Little, he said also very little, but much, much better, he said. But it is necessary to use wisdom and discrimination. Okay. Not starting then to indulge, to say, okay, now I had my ice cream, now I want another taste of ice cream, and then it becomes the never-ending story. No. Little tiny desires, yes, you can, but also learn self-discipline. When desires arise, give them up. And that's beautiful when one works, when one, for example, loves chocolate. I remember I started in India. We were on pilgrimage, and we were in this hotel who had the most delicious chocolate mousse. And I started to get a little bit attached to it. And so I said, I don't like that attachment. And as soon as I came back to the Emirates, at the time we were living in the Emirates, I said to Master, you have to help me. And the next day I started with Master's diet. So from chocolate mousse, I went to Master's diet. But then I was free of the attachment. Now, here and then, yes, I take a chocolate mousse. But there's not a desire anymore there. Can you see the difference? That's much better, because there it was not yet, the groove was not yet so deep. Because more you indulge, in your desires, more you indulge in certain actions, which maybe are also not good for the physical body. Chocolate mousse surely is not the healthiest thing. It's good to change as fast as possible. Their master also said one shouldn't get fixated or fanatical. He always was against to be fanatical also with diet or other things, but to be strong, that it's not the desire ruling you, but you can say, okay, once a month I have a little chocolate mousse, tiny, perfect. So in that way, you gain control over it. And one does it with little things first, and then slowly, slowly, you can do it with bigger things, okay? Because desires are very much linked with our actions. When we desire something, how often we are ruled, our actions are ruled by desires. How often? It's a question you can answer. Most of the time. So there we see, working with desires. And desires in themselves, they are again only thoughts. You see something beautiful and say, oh, that's beautiful. Where does the problem start? When you want it and when you get attached to it. Attachment is the greatest cause of suffering on all levels, okay? Because, and there comes in again, when we are free of attachment, we can see Swamiji, he loved beauty. But his happiness was never dependent on it. Okay? So one can then enjoy life, but without any attachment. If tomorrow it's gone, you're happy in the same way. You don't get sad about it. Yes? When you are attached to people and family, again, the attachment is on the physical plane. When one starts to see family members as expressions of the divine, like you, also Yogananda as a child, he was suffering when he lost his mother tremendously, until Divine Mother came and said to him, I was your mother in many, many thousand bodies, not only in that. This is the mother, the physical mother only of this lifetime. But who is behind each one of our friends, each one of our family member, is God, okay? And more that we can see it like that, less attachment is there. And there then can be a beautiful relationship. Because as long as attachment, divine love cannot flow. Also to family members. Is that understandable? So learning that gentle detachment, you can do it when you start to see like divine mother in your mother, that she's manifesting to her, or to your father. But it's only a temporary body, okay? To go beyond that. Not being attached to the body, but being attached to the source, to the true nature. And with that soul, with the universal soul which resides in each one of us, we should, there you can be attached, because there we are already one. The physical body, also with all of us, also in friendship, it's like God is playing a role of friendship with another in two bodies. But the true nature is the soul, okay? And there we are always one. If there's a physical body or if there's not a physical body, we are always already together, okay? And that can be helpful. Like I have a very dear friend of mine in Austria. She's also Kriyaban, but from a different, from Sri Yukteswar's line. She has are four boys, and she never wanted children. But the souls then like came, and then she said, always, already with the first one, she said, Divine Mother, you are the mother. I'm only the caretaker. And she's, from the very first moment, she saw herself as the caretaker, not the mother. But the love she gives to her children is so pure, is so beautiful. Because every morning she gets up and says, Divine Mother, what do you want your children to learn? How can I help? How can I serve them better for their soul? And her thoughts is always to help the soul of the children. Can you see that? In that way, you relate to the soul of your mother, your father, your brother and sister, and members, and less to the physical form, which is not our true reality. It's not easy, okay? But it allows a much deeper and beautiful love to flow, okay? And then there's then also when one member leaves, you don't feel the pain of separation, but you can feel then their joy. Because when your heart is then open, like I remember at the funeral of my father, all the people looked at my mother and me a little bit strange, because normally on a funeral, the family members cry and they're sad. But I could feel, my mother saw my father in his astral body. I could only feel him. I couldn't see him. I could only feel him. But I felt so much joy. Also there, I could feel his joy. And how can I be sad when I feel his joy? That is when we relate to the soul, when we don't relate, I have lost that physical body. That means, again, we have body identification. Is that clear? And so that is the most beautiful way. And also, like with family members, and everybody sooner or later faces that. I had that with my mother-in-law. And if you have an attachment, also to a family member who is leaving, the soul cannot leave, or it can be more painful. It can be more difficult and more challenging to leave. Because it's like you're holding them back where they are ready to go. Okay? That was also why Master, for example, he had an attachment to Sister Gyanamata. He loved her so much. But Master had to leave, because if he would have been present, she couldn't leave the body. It was not possible. So he had to leave, knowing that in that time she was leaving, she could leave the physical body. Okay? So that is a very important part also, how to help others, not attached. But simply being there, what is the best for their soul, okay? Thinking of them, not thinking what we want. What is the best for their soul? What is the best for their evolution? And the moment has come to leave, that we all have sooner or later to go. There is no choice on that, okay? But not holding on, but helping them to go into the light. Like in Ananda, we have very much the use when somebody leaves to chant Om in the right ear to help that they can merge back into the cosmic Om, to that energy which has created these forms, so they can merge back into the light very fast. And then also, just before we ask about the ascension ceremony, okay, who asked me before? Yeah, you asked me about the ascension ceremony. We have a beautiful ascension ceremony where we help that soul to go into the light. That is the greatest act of love and of friendship. When somebody of your family members is leaving the body, that you help them to go. In the meaning, you say, go to the light. Go into the light. Because the last thing, what is the last sense, what a human being, which is still active, is the hearing. That's the last one, and then it's gone. Okay? Is that clear? That aspect. And then we can go further, but I wanted here. Oh, here, that again, it's very important what we think. Again, Master here said, man being made in the image of God becomes deluded only temporarily. This temporary delusion leads him to think he is mortal. We are not mortal. So long as he thinks he is mortal, so long must he suffer. So as long as we think that we are mortal beings, so long we have to suffer. Because that means that we are identified with this physical body, not even with the astral body, but with the physical body, and that we are identified with the ego and not with our immortal soul. Okay? Because it's the astral body, when this, the physical body comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. The astral body stays for a much longer time. Because in the astral body, all the tendencies, all the karmas, all the experiences, everything is stored in the astral body. After, one has to get free also of that. But you can burn also your astral karma, because we have physical karma, we have astral karma, and we have causal karma. So we have three kinds of karma, okay? For that reason, importance of thoughts, okay? And so everything slowly one builds, and that is with meditation. With every meditation, you're releasing astral karma, because all the karma of past lifetimes becomes astral karma, because that remains then in the astral spine, okay? And slowly you have to make zero every action you have done. It has everything brought to a point of zero. The difference between the three karmas is each karma, the root cause of each karma is created on the causal plane, on the thought level. Because first is the thought of the karma, like when also Sri Yukteswarji said to Yogananda, when Yogananda got a little bit bothered by the mosquito, and Sri Yukteswar just was talking about ahimsa, and Yogananda was not thinking exactly of ahimsa with the mosquito, and Sri Yukteswarji said, why are you not finishing your action, your job? And Master said, but Master, Sri Yukteswar, you say one shouldn't kill, one should practice ahimsa. And what did Sri Yukteswarji respond? You already have killed him with your thought. So the action begins, the karma begins with the thought. Okay? And that thought, if it is given power, if you immediately you become aware, and that is the importance of awareness, to be aware of the thoughts which enter, which you allow to enter, is as soon as a thought is there which is not uplifted, critical, negative, immediately give it away, not giving it power. As soon as you give it power and you hold on to that thought, it becomes astral, okay? Because then you give it energy. And then, for example, when you think, oh, she really has treated me badly, I really want to give her a, how you call that? Huh? A slap. I really want to give her a slap. It's the thought. But the energy is already then coming, and you hold on to that. You don't give it away. You don't breathe deeply and say, no, that's not the solution to do. Okay? Then it stays in the causal and can get easily dissolved. But you give it power, that thought, and then you go and give a slap. So all three levels of karma. Is that understandable? But then to get rid again, because then that karma was already activated. It was activated already with the thought to which we hold on. If we let it go immediately, then there's no karmic consequence. But if as soon as we give it power, we hold on to that thought, it creates energetic karma. And then when we go further, when we act on that thought, then it's also physical karma. So it creates then karma on all three levels. Okay? Was that clear? So we have to be careful with our thoughts, with our thinking. Because there is the key of change. Much, yeah, that's also, but give it to Master. And Master loves to take on all our negative thoughts. That is outward. It will not change you. You got identified with your judgment. Yep. So it's very tricky. How to offer it to Master? As soon as a negative thought, and there devotion is so important. Devotion is the key. As soon as something comes, like Swamiji often, he said, like with smoking, and he said, I didn't yet succeed. But so I come, oh, here we go again. Master, I offer it to you. And I relax. As soon as I say, you say, oh, that I'm again judging. You identify with the judging. Detachment. Detachment, and then use devotion. Use the love you have for Master, or the love you have for Divine Mother, for whomever. Use that devotion to offer it up. One time, 50 times, 100 times. It doesn't matter how often. Remember, it's like a saint is a sinner who never gave up. That's also like Master. But also, when you fall 100 times, but you get up 101 times. Okay? And the same thing is, because we had maybe for many lifetimes, we were still, I'm very often critical. And it comes and say, oh, well, Master, here. But don't get identified with it. It's not you who is critical, who is judgment. Like and dislikes. It's again, it's very tricky. It's very difficult, okay? The most important thing, detach, become a witness. Become the observer. Okay? Because when you are the witness, the observer, you detach from it. And with detachment comes clarity. And then you can offer it up. You cannot offer it up when you already have attached yourself to it and identified with it. Okay? Then give thanks. Be grateful. As soon as not never bringing pride into it, because then God comes with it, says, okay, now let's see. Or not God, but our own karma. Be grateful. At the moment that you see some habit or some action, blocking action, is not anymore there, be grateful and give thanks to God and Gurus. Okay, that is. Yeah, It's practicing. You always have to practice with the female body, is with female energy, to get more emotional. Men are more rational, and usually they are able to work easier with feeling and with emotions. So often with this kind of things, it's easier to work with, okay? But the key is detachment. Yes? It depends in what way you do it. If there is that you hold on, that, for example, what very often also is done in India, or what also in Ananda very often we do, when a loved one gets cremated, or we offer it in the mountains, in the ocean, or we offer then the ashes also to Ganga, to Mother Ganga, okay? So it's because you're holding on to the last part of the physical body. I know it's not so easy. If it is as a memory that you have that, and there's only a beautiful memory, and that you say, so much love and light to you. Thank you for the time what we could have together. So there's then no attachment. Can you see that? That there's a gratitude and the memory of the beauty of it. There's no pain connected with it. Because also with loved ones, as soon as you feel pain because of missing them, they feel that. That soul feels that pain, can feel what you perceive. Also in the astral plane, they can feel it on a subtle level. So love, when you send them love and gratitude, that helps them to be freer. They don't have physical pain, but they have mental pain. Like also Master here was very clear about what he calls the hell. Where is that? That souls who have a lot of bad karma, who have accumulated a lot of negative karma and bad karma, when they go in the astral plane, the first part they go into the light, but then they go in a place on their level of consciousness for a short period of time until they come then back and they can change that habit. Okay, they have then a lot of opportunity. And Master writes, they have mental pain in the astral. Because also in the astral plane, yes, there are different levels of consciousness. When you have accumulated good karma, that you were giving, loving, caring, and very positive toward others, you go in a higher level of astral plane and consciousness. But when you are very negative, you want to hurt others, you are always against others or fighting with others, you go in a lower level, and there the pain, the suffering is on the mental level. Because the mind goes with you in the astral plane. It sticks with you like the ego. It doesn't go away. We have to change it. The power is in us, and we cannot transform these habits and attitudes in the astral plane. We can transform them here. Okay. So really to work now on transforming them. And also when you pray for your family members, for the souls, that's very, very good to do that. So to have that memory and always send them light, send them love in a free way, okay? That's the most beautiful thing. Now I wanted to show here that also what Master here said, for example, about our incarnations, Here we go then slowly through the karma, our incarnations. Here Master said that when we have accumulated bad karma, negative karma, we will be drawn to parents who are negative, who may be alcoholics, who are abusive, who are very challenging, because it's everything is magnetism and energy and vibration. So it draws when negative parents negative parents come together on a pleasure level, on a physical level, that spark of, it's like Master calls it, a spark of darkening light from bad people. It's a darkening, because when good souls, good parents, they come together in love, not out of pleasure, but out of love. And their attitudes, their energy is lighter. Here's again about consciousness and energy. They have a lighter consciousness, they have a lighter energy. And so that spark of light, which when they come physically together, which is created, that spark of light is goes into the astral universe and draws then a soul who is in the same vibration. So to good parents usually come good children, or that you have a good karma, okay? Good karma draws you to good parents. And bad karma draws you to bad parents. It's karma. In that way, for that reason, you see often so many little children, they're suffering, but because of karma, that's again reincarnation, okay? And they are also, like Master here said, that also children, when they are born in death or they die very soon afterward for any cause, it's again a karma which got activated, and that soul has decided to release that karma, to nullify that karma. It comes in, it goes through that 9 months of ordeal, because for the soul it's not fun to be in the body, in the womb of the mother. It's very encased, okay? It cannot move, it cannot do much, so it's not a fun thing. And that through that ordeal, and then maybe the birth and dying, they let it go completely of that karma, so they are free of it, and then they can come back, incarnate again, and not having to go through a karma like that. They burned up. So very often when you see little children dying in certain ways, it's they burn very fast this karma, and then they come back. Is that understandable? Because it's everything connected with karma and reincarnation. Yeah, here he says, souls with bad karma can suffer mental agonies worse than fiery burns in the astral plane. The soul cannot be burned with fire, but they suffer mental agonies, but not for eternity. There's no thing, but it got created by bad karma, okay? When there are really bad action, and very often, as Master also said, is suicide is one of them. They usually go through a period of real mental suffering in the astral plane. Then they come back. No. Yeah. Now here now we come then to another come. Here is what Master wrote about the two sides. Okay? But there are also these two sides. We begin to neutralize, when we begin to neutralize karma, we begin to walk toward Dharma. Okay? Action guided by the soul. When we are not attached anymore to actions, but we ask inwardly to be guided by the soul, to be guided by the divine. And then we have also like situations coming to us or karma where we learn. That is then in that last phase of evolution, the last spectrum, okay? But I wanted a little bit go to all the different things that karma makes it understandable, and Master was very clear also in his writings about that, okay? So when that point comes, then of course that is the heaven on earth in a way, because every karma that comes then to you, you learn from it. You grow with it. And it's always a co-working with the divine, with your higher self. Until that point that you know that you never were acting, that it was always the soul acting. But that is then the last. Then you're free of karma. Okay? Is that understandable? Because as long we act from likes and dislikes or from this kind of things, we are in that level of duality. At that moment where that gets neutralized, that every action, we always ask inwardly, guide, like I love so much that affirmation by Master, I will reason, I will, I will act, but guide thou my every my reason, my will, and my every action according to your design. Okay? Repeat that again and again, because that is then tuning in to the action of the soul. What does the soul want to do? And in that way you become then an instrument. Is that clear? And then instead of creating karma, it's we work through our karma, what we still have, but we don't create new one. Because at the end, we don't want to create good or bad. We don't want to create any kind of karma, but that is then at the end. At the beginning, good karma. For that reason, also seva and like karma yoga is very helpful because it frees and purifies the heart. And it helps a little bit with the karma, but on a certain point, that is not needed anymore. The highest dharma is to meditate and to love God. And then God decides which action should be done, okay? Because then you see saints, according to the will of God, then they act. They can sit maybe for 30 years in a cave and meditate. That is their dharma. Or they can be active, but it doesn't matter. It's not them acting anymore. Okay? And that will be for us, the day comes for everyone. Okay? Nobody can escape. Because every being, also the worst, as Master said, the worst sinner, or now we can also say, for example, Isis, who in this moment represents a little bit more the darker side of human evolution, they will be saints. They will be saints. They are, the saint is already in them, but they still have a few veils over their consciousness. Okay? So nobody is lost. That's the beauty of it. So now let's... Wow, it's 9 o'clock. No, I wanted to go deeper into also reincarnation, but that's a theme which is so... so vast that, yeah, with reincarnation. Because karma is such a deep aspect. Hmm? Yes. And also to really understand it on all the different levels. Yeah. No. Yeah, no, you should also, because as, like Master said one thing, he said that insects, for example, mosquitoes, they can be a danger to human life. And the human life is higher, it's more important than that of a mosquito. The way, what changes the karma, like I still kill mosquitoes sincerely, but I pray at the moment when I do it, I don't do it with anger. I do it, I say, may God bless you. I chant Om, and I pray that the soul can evolve to another beautiful being. So in that way, there is no anger in it. It's a difference when you kill insects out of pleasure. And it's a difference because, especially like also in India, they can be very dangerous, okay? Because they can carry a lot of sicknesses. Also for hygiene, insects also having in the house, it's not their place. Usually what we do, like when a fly comes in, or a bee, or a wasp, always with the glass, boop, and the paper on it, and then, little friend, this not your home, outside, okay? And then I let them free, also with spiders and things like this. But like with these insects, which can be a hazard to human health, don't worry. But it's the way how you do it. If your consciousness, if you pray in that moment for this, because there's a soul in it. There's a being in it, consciousness, okay? So do it, blessing it, and sending it in the next incarnation. There's a very beautiful CD of Master Suffering versus Reincarnation, I think it's called. Oh, you have, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Oh, that, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not so. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, there are a lot of books in it. Yeah, welcome. Because it's. No, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, because it always comes up about karma. So you will have to cover still more about reincarnation. Yes. No, I can. I have only here. A few things which are from Masters. There was that which was. Huh? Yes, just a moment. There was one phrase which was so beautiful where I wanted to close with it. And then we stop. Ah, here. To free yourself from karma that binds you to the lesser duties of life, develop the consciousness and wisdom of a soul and meditate. So. Okay. Are there more questions? There are a lot of questions, I think, that we have to. But in the meantime, till next week, nurture positive thoughts, positive thinking, and positive action. Already when you go somewhere and you have a smile, and you make somebody else smile, That's a very, very good action. Okay? And let's sit up straight. Close your eyes again. Focus on the spiritual eye. Pray to God and Gurus to bless you on your journey, to get free, ever more perfect expressions of the soul, to guide you hand in hand until you reach perfection in the divine. Like I read also another phrase today, that it is a much better karma or dharma to help others than simply to sit and to pray. When you pray for others, in that way, yes, but always.